You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married.
Well, Ron, I'm no longer feeling the burn.
I didn't know you were going to start that conversation, tonight's conversation with that. Yeah,
Bernie's surprise gone. Is always good.
You know, my all-time favorite movie is Tombstone, okay? And the character actor, oh God, it'll come to me later. But anyway, I love this guy, but he just passed away not too long ago. And his line in the movie was, "Well, bye."
Oh, yeah.
So he's gone.
I was surprised to see that. It is just such a strange time, right, in our history, where we had this vigorous presidential election, whole campaign going on with numerous people involved. And all of a sudden, it's just done. And it's done. These guys can't get out and they can't campaign and they can't do rallies and they can't be in front of people. So Biden's hunkered down in his basement every day.
You don't even hear anything from him.
Well, he pops up every day and he says something from the basement.
But it's incoherent. Okay.
It is incoherent, but yeah. He says something.
Well, he does. And I think they're trying to keep him very focused and almost muzzled, because I'm telling you what, I don't, and I'm trying to look at this very realistically, but I don't think the guy has got the physical or mental stamina to take Trump on during this election. And he's not a particularly smart guy.
Well, and he's absolutely not presidential material. But this is what we have, and this is kind of what we're stuck with.
But people would argue with you. I mean, for the sake of argument, but people would argue with you, and they would say that President...
And they'd be wrong.
But they would say that President Trump is not presidential material.
Well, I think he has proven himself to be presidential material 1,000 times over.
No, I don't disagree with you, but I think you have to... I think President Trump has sort of redefined what it means to be presidential.
Well, this could be true, yes.
Okay, well, I mean, you know, like I've said many, many times, full disclosure, first of all, I'm a huge Trump supporter. I love about 90% of what this guy does, and 10% of what this guy does, he makes me bang my head against the wall, okay, because it's unnecessary.
Well,
but it's him.
And on the other hand, if Biden was president, it would be the reverse. It would be that you might like 10% of what he does, and 90% you'd bang your head against the wall. The man cannot keep a straight thought in his head. That scares the heck out of me.
Oh, me
for
too.
Somebody being the president.
Well, he's
which
the
means
world
that
leader.
Other people would be controlling everything he does. And I don't believe that anybody is controlling President Trump. I think he listens very well to everybody and then he forms his own opinion, sometimes stubbornly, maybe wrongly at times, but he forms his own opinion. He's not anybody's
fool,
I guess. Right. Yeah. So anyway, what's interesting right now about the president is that some of the numbers for him are going down as far as how he's handling this crisis. The longer that it goes on, people seem to blame the president, which is really interesting because how do you blame the president for a pandemic that came from China? And he's been singing that song for quite a while, even when the Democrats were saying that he was racist for wanting to stop flights from China. But now they've conveniently forgotten all of that. And I think that how people feel from day to day is based on what they hear from where they hear the news.
Okay, now that just brings up, underscores what I want to make a comment about. All right. And here's that. You're telling me, according to the poll that you looked at, which was MSN, which is a Microsoft poll, that Trump's numbers are going down. And that's not what I'm seeing in a Fox poll. All right. So, you know, obviously Fox is conservative. I don't think MSN is conservative at all. I think it's moderate to liberal. So I think people have to sort of balance everything out there that they see in the mainstream media and look how often the mainstream media gets this stuff totally wrong, especially with polls.
Well, I agree with you, but I will say that I was wide awake in the middle of the night and I was looking at my phone and I did see a Fox poll that did say the same thing that I'm saying. Either way, I think it's inconsequential. I think that people, the longer this goes on, they need to have somebody to point the finger at, and the president is the most likely person.
Well, he's a very convenient
target. Let that be what it is. I respect that he's on the media every single day, and he's full of information, and he's working diligently in so many different areas for our country. Now, speaking of the president working diligently, speaking of Mnuchin working diligently for small businesses, what happens now is that our Congress completely knocks down adding more money to the small business PPP program.
Yeah. Actually, what happened today is that they voted, the Democrats in the Congress voted to block the Republican plan to add another $350 billion to the small business federal loan program. And what the Democrats did is that not only did they block it, but what they wanted was they wanted some government giveaways to, you know, state governments. They wanted more funding for hospitals. They wanted less funding for overall small business loans across the country, except they wanted an increase in small business loans to small minority businesses in disadvantaged areas of the country. Okay, that's what they wanted. But a lot of them, and I think that was, we were talking about another $125 billion, okay? Because I think there's $225 billion in the program right now, and the Republicans wanted to add another $125 billion to make it $350 billion, and the Democrats were blocking that. As a person that owns a small business, you own a small business, we know how difficult these times are right now. My comment is, every small business owner, I don't care what your politics are, every small business owner should never forget and never forgive the Democrats for causing this situation. They do not like small business.
No, they never
don't
have.
Like them. They like voting blocks, but they don't like small business.
Well, I agree with you. And as somebody that has applied for the PPP loan for my employees.
And me too.
And as you have also, it is taking time. So this became available on last Friday. It is, it's about a week and we've heard nothing on our loans.
And by the way, we have been working night and day on the loan paperwork and working with our banks.
Our loan paperwork was turned in immediately, because we were ready.
We worked on it. I mean, we didn't screw around. We got right down to it and started hitting it right away.
Right. And so it's very frustrating because people that we care about are our employees, namely people that we really truly care about, as do so many other employers in this country. Sure. Are sitting in limbo right now, and that's frustrating to me. I cannot bring them back. You cannot bring them back until we can get this kind of help, because when all of our businesses go from, you know, going 90 miles an hour to going 5 miles an hour, it's tough, and we have to have this help. So for them to shut this down is extremely frustrating, and I, for one, will not forget it.
No, and you shouldn't. And I think that people that own small businesses like we do. And they are small businesses, okay? I think you've got, what, eight people on your staff? I think I've got three people on my staff because 26 people are independent subcontractors. They've got their own private practices, but I've got my three employees. But my employees, like your employees, have been with me for many years. Yours have been with you far longer than mm-hmm. my employees have been with me, but they do such a wonderful job and we click so well together, right? That I look at them as being family, and I know you do too, and we spend sleepless nights worrying about them and worrying about their families. And for the and I know they're worried. And for the Democrats to do this to small businesses is, to me, it's just unforgivable.
It's unforgivable. And here's the thing. If they need all of these other, whatever it is, whether it's pork or whether it's really meaningful monies that are needed by other places, then do their own separate bill and get that passed. But leave it out of this and let these people, because what's happening is there's so many people applying for these loans. First of all, the banks are overwhelmed. Secondly, there's not enough money to go around. It's patently unfair to any small business who applies to be left out because the money has run out.
Absolutely.
That is just unfair.
Absolutely. So, and to pick and choose what kind of businesses that you are going to funnel more money to than other small businesses, to me, I mean, that's just patently unfair.
Well, I think that it's really unfair, and not that I'm against disadvantaged businesses or any of that, but it's unfair to select them to get more preference. That's not fair, because we as small businesses are the engine of this country, and it's not the disadvantaged ones that are the engine of this country. It's all of us.
Right.
So don't discriminate against me because I'm not disadvantaged. I just want an equal shake here.
Right. But you're not going to get it. You're not going to get it. And if you go back to when the real estate bubble broke, okay, and Barney Frank, and there was a couple other, I hope people never forget or forgive Barney Frank, because he was just as instrumental as he possibly could have been to destroy this country at that particular time. And you remember what they were doing and the games that they were playing with the banks, and how they threatened those banks to give loans to people that had, you know, no business having loans to buy a house because they weren't making the money. They were lying about income. There was no oversight. There was no federal oversight. It was just a bunch of hogwash. And what it did was just about bankrupt this country.
Yes. And they went to stated income, which means that if you say you make this amount, they take your word for
it. And it was all lies.
Who does that when you're loaning money? And the thing is that to this day, it makes me angry that they all lie about it. And they say that it was the banks that did this. It was not the banks did this.
The banks were fighting hard against it, as a matter of fact.
Yes, it was. I work with so many lending companies, Ron, and I would go in there and they would tell me what they got that day from our government, that they had to approve these loans. And they're like, this is crazy, but we are required to, or we lose our license.
That's exactly right.
And for them to now blame the banks for this and say that it was bank greed is so untrue. And I believe that most people in America believe that because that's what they keep hearing, but it's so false. But anyway, that's beside the point. I want to talk about coronavirus for a second.
Yeah, but you know what? I just want to repeat something that you said, because I feel exactly the same way about these small business loans. Hey, look, we've worked our butts off. Our employees have worked their butts off. We've got, before all of this happened, we've had wonderfully successful companies. We've just been so blessed. And then this happens, and all we want, all we're asking of our federal government is that we want to be on an even playing field here, okay?
Right.
And we want a fair shake. That's all. We're not saying put us to the head of the line. We're saying just treat us all of us as equals. Not some of us, but all of us as equals.
And is it true that some people won't make it through this? Yes. this happens from time to time in economics, no matter what.
It's the calling of the herd.
That there's a shakeout of things that happen.
There's a calling of the herd, and this is what it is. If your business was not strong before this, if you didn't have a good business model, if you didn't have a good product, or you had problems with the way you managed your product, or you managed your employees, or you managed your business, and you were struggling to survive, then you know what? It just takes a little bit of a storm like this to sink your ship.
Right. And even for us, Ron, it's not a panacea, because it does help. It helps pay employees, and it helps pay maybe rent for 8 weeks. And that's it. And then you're back on your own. So it's not like it's something that is going to really... We still have a long way to go to get back to where we were.
Sure.
But it's a breath in between is what it is. So, yeah, it's very frustrating to have not heard. It's very frustrating to sit and wait. But that's where we are.
Yeah. So you said you wanted to talk about coronavirus.
Well, I do. And I think that, you know, I'm going to make some coffee in just a minute. But I don't know if you're aware that as of today, coronavirus is the leading cause of death in our country. It passes cancer and heart disease and everything.
Well, I did not know that. I anticipated that this would happen. You know, the other day I was actually trying to get some comparative studies and statistics of H1N1, which was the swine flu. Now people refer to it as the seasonal flu. It's annual attack upon the American people, right? Starts at beginning of October and ends pretty much in March, you know, for the seasonal flu. That's the season. And what I wanted to try to do, and I'm going to continue to try to do this, is I wanted to pull up whatever stats that CDC had in regards, and also several different states, California, New York, Texas, Illinois, Florida, about what their H1N1 cases were this past month and the month before that, which, you know, would have been February, and how many hospitalizations they had and how many deaths they had, and compare and contrast that to coronavirus. But now with coronavirus, I guess today's news is that we crossed over 15,000 fatalities in the United States. And, you know, some of the leading states are, again, you know, states like New York,
New Jersey, Louisiana.
Yeah,
sure.
Exactly.
And some states have surprisingly done, I won't say surprisingly done a good job. They've done a good job and they have kept their numbers down. So, you know, we'll talk about that after we make our first cup of coffee.
Great. I'm looking forward to it.
What if a new treatment, backed by 17,000 scientific articles, was proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance? What would you pay for even the smallest dose of this treatment? Well, the good news is you don't have to pay anything, because these are just some of the benefits of a full night of quality sleep. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Until now, most sleep aids haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel, invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM Sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthy, CELL.com/sleep.
Just to continue with what we were talking about, globally, over 1.4 million people have been infected with coronavirus at this point in time, and 89,000 have died. I mean, it's just a huge number.
And that's worldwide, though, right?
Worldwide.
Worldwide, not yes. In the United States, worldwide.
In the U.S., there have been 14,808 as of when you and I are speaking.
Yeah, so... you know, and we just had 10,000, what, a couple of days ago. So we're losing about 1,000 or more people every single day. It's climbing.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a lot of people. You know, there was a Fox News poll that was just out today, and they talked to 1,400 people, And 76% of those people said that they think that they might contract coronavirus. And 57% of the people believe that the way that the United States is heading right now, where we're, you know, in social isolation and closing things down and doing this, trying to shut it down, the spread of coronavirus, we're heading in the right direction. So 57% think we're heading in the right direction, but 94% believe, and they're absolutely correct, because we can see that coronavirus is spreading. Okay, so it remains a serious issue, and you and I are very restrictive on what we're doing, because the president and all the medical team was saying these next 2 weeks are going to be a serious next 2 weeks. I absolutely believe that. Give a great example. We went over to HEB, our supermarket, today to pick up a prescription, going in the drive-thru, and every single person that we saw in and about that store had a mask on. And I said to myself, you know, I'd love to go in there and get some of my favorite ice cream, but I am not going into a single store for the next couple of weeks. We've got enough supplies. I can do without my ice cream. And I am not going into that store where everybody around me is wearing masks. And,
well, you're not eating my ice cream, I'm going to tell you that.
But you know what I mean, though, right? So, you know, I'm one of those 76% that believe that if I screw up and I break my social isolation, I might contract coronavirus.
No, you're totally correct. But one thing that we did today, which we have not done in weeks and weeks and weeks, is we stopped and we had some takeout fast food. And have been eating at home for weeks and weeks and weeks.
Right.
And
that was the first time.
Yeah, we were out and about and not getting out of the car and not, you know, seeing or touching anybody.
And keeping our windows rolled up.
Yes. But not to mention the rainstorm today. But we passed a fast food place where you can, you know, get some takeout without really seeing anybody. And that was great because we both had a hamburger, and I never one to order a hamburger from a fast food place.
And it's been weeks for me since I've had a hamburger.
And it was really good. It was a nice change up. So I hope I don't come down with coronavirus in the next couple of weeks because I went and had a hamburger. But, you know, I want to talk about something. We talk about conspiracy theories from time to time. And I have my own opinions, and I'm sure that you do too. And I'm sure that every other American has their own opinions about where this virus came from, right? Did it truly come from bats in the marketplace, wet market?
In Wuhan, China?
Or did it come from the
biochemical
factory? Yeah, also in Wuhan. What a coincidence, by the way. But, you know, I received this from somebody today, and I want to kind of talk about it with you because, you know, you never know if these things are true. And I started to kind of look up and see if what was said in here was true. And what I'm going to say is that it really is, for the most part, pretty true. So I'll tell you when I talk about this with you what I think is, you know, maybe questionable, but this is going to make you think, Ron.
Yeah, and also for full disclosure, we would always suggest to friends and listeners that they do their own research. You see something that looks really strange and maybe even conspiratorial in the media coming through, whatever, the news, the blogs, you know, whatever. Don't ever accept that on face value. Always do some backup research and at least look at two credible sites, you know, statistical sites, CDC, things like that. You know, I've even stopped looking at the statistics from the World Health Organization because of all the controversy with them. But that be said, go ahead and talk about what you saw.
Well, and just by way of kind of introduction, people have to remember that many, many years ago, more than 10 years ago, one of the top, I think, generals in the Chinese military, he had said that they felt that they were going to put out a biological weapon with the purpose of basically of killing Americans because they want to take over the American country, and that they find places in the world that because China is so very crowded and they need more room, where can they expand to? And they feel that their priority is the Chinese people. It is not all people. It is the Chinese people. So the two countries that they really have kind of focused in on is Australia and the United States as being places that they could kind of migrate to and live and do well. So that being said, he said that they were going to launch a biological weapon, which would in fact kill some of their people, but that they would have to take that loss. But it would kill many more people in the world and many more people in the United States and give them a foothold. Now, just think about that with what I'm going to say. So this is what came to me today. The distance from Wuhan to Shanghai is 839 kilometers. The distance from Wuhan to Beijing is 1,152 kilometers. Wuhan to Milan, Italy is 8,684 kilometers, and you know how many deaths there have been in Milan. And Wuhan to New York is 12,033 kilometers. The coronavirus started in Wuhan, yet there's no effect of coronavirus in nearby Beijing or Shanghai, but many deaths in Italy, Iran, and European countries and the USA. This is the one thing that I really wanted to know if this was true. Are there no deaths in Shanghai and Beijing?
And by the way, Shanghai is the Chinese financial center, right?
Yes.
And also a lot of the elite, rich Chinese, government officials, military officials, obviously financiers, all live in Shanghai. And in Peking is the other major center, right?
Beijing,
I'm sorry.
Yeah. So I did look it up, and there really is, there is coronavirus in those cities, very, very, very minimally. And it's really interesting because when you look at those distances, and when you actually look at a map of China, and you look at where this virus has traveled in China, it's almost nowhere. And it's gone to a few different provinces, but it's nothing like it is, say, in New York and Italy and those areas.
Well, and I don't know the answers to these questions. That's why I'm just throwing them out. And if you don't know, then you don't know. But did the Chinese government, when this first broke out in Wuhan, did the Chinese government take drastic steps like we've been doing in the United States, even more drastic? Because, of course, you know, it's a different kind of country. It's a communist country. They can do whatever they want. But did they shut down Beijing? Did they shut down Shanghai? Did they shut down
they did take
areas
measures.
Of China so that anybody that was infected or anybody that came from Wuhan was not allowed? Did they shut down Wuhan so you could
leave
Wuhan?
They did shut down Wuhan. They absolutely shut down Wuhan. They did not shut down the other areas, but they did take measures. Now, just to continue on, all business areas of China are now safe. America,
no, that's amazing. That's absolutely amazing.
It's too amazing. America is not just blaming China without a reason. Even today, as you and I are talking, India's locked down, but all the cities of China are open. China has also announced the opening of Wuhan from April 8th. Not a single leader in China has tested positive for the deadly coronavirus. And I go back to thinking about that doctor who kind of raised the warning whistle about coronavirus, who ended up dying from it. And I'm sorry, but I continue to wonder today if he was not killed over raising the warning, because no, that he's really one of the only ones that died in that way.
Well, you know, Linda, you know, obviously, again, a communist country. I know they shut the internet down. I know they shut the phones down. I just think it's very strange that no one has broken through the communications barriers that the Communist Party has put up and has not snuck a message, some sort of thing out there.
They absolutely have. And we've actually seen some of them on America Out Loud.
I've only seen one. Have you seen more than one?
Malcolm on America Out Loud did a whole show on this. But I think in a communist country, sometimes, you know, the repercussions are so much so that people don't want to be involved in it. So let me continue on here.
Sure.
The virus has ruined many economies around the world.
Oh, that's for sure.
Many have had to close their borders in an attempt to contain and control the spread of coronavirus. Thousands have lost their lives. Millions now have the disease. Countless people have been locked in their homes, and many countries have placed their citizens on lockdown. The coronavirus, which originated in Wuhan, China, and has now reached every corner of the world, but the virus did not reach China's capital, Beijing, and China's economic capital, Shanghai, which is located in close proximity. How is that possible?
You know, and I understand because I heard that general give that speech myself about coming over and, you know, taking over the United States and taking over Australia. To me, and I absolutely agree, and I'm sure some people will disagree with me, but I could care less. I absolutely believe that this was a biological weapon, but I believe it's a biological weapon that was introduced internationally and especially into the United States and Europe, because the United States under President Trump, our model has been, and it's been demonstrated through the trade agreements, that we're not going to put up with China ripping us off to the tune of $500 billion a year, all of the technological espionage that's been going on. We made huge strides under President Trump this past year to level that playing field for Americans and even Europeans. And I think the Europeans are looking at the American model, the trade model, and what we accomplished with the Chinese government, and they hated every second of it.
Right.
And we're looking at, well, maybe we could do that too. And I'm thinking that what the Chinese did is they said strategically, this is a wonderful time to unleash the beast, because strategically, the United States has made some horrible, horrible decisions about, okay, what kind of horrible decisions? We allow far too much trade to go on with China. They build everything now. I mean, you know, I had a friend of mine go through his house just the other day. He sent me a little message, and he says, you know, I was going through my house, and he says, Jesus, about 70% of everything that I have is made in China. And the other thing is that we allowed the Chinese to basically take over our entire pharmaceutical trade.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I think they control 80 or 90% of the antibiotics, all right? And I mean, it's just stuff like that. You know what I mean, Linda?
Well, those are important things.
And the Chinese, and then you talk about unleashing the beast. Who's got all the masks? Well, who's got all the PPEs now?
Sure. So let's continue on. Shanghai is the city that runs the Chinese economy, right? It is the capital, the economic capital of China, where all the rich people of China live.
Yeah, talk about that.
And they run their major industries. There is no lockdown, and there is no effect of the coronavirus there. I'm not saying nobody has it. It's very, very few. Beijing and Shanghai are the areas that adjoin Wuhan. How is it that the virus from Wuhan reached every corner of the world except for the ones right next to them? Now, another big thing is that the worldwide share market has fallen by almost half, right?
Oh, of course it has.
In India, the Nifty has gone from 12,000 to 7,000, but the share market of China was at 3,000 and dropped just to 2,700. How is that possible? When you start to look at all of these different facts about what's going on, and, you know, I'm not saying that they're 1,000% right, but I think that they're pretty close, at least what I looked up. It leaves you to speculate that maybe this is a biochemical weapon which China used to carry out destruction in the world in order to gain economic supremacy. You're right, Ron. They have all the tools in their toolkit. They have all the masks. They have all of the gowns that are needed for protection. They have so many. They have they make the antibacterial.
Right. I wanted to bring this mm-hmm. up because you're working night and day retooling your company. And, you know, now you're doing PPEs, you know, you're distributing PPEs and hand sanitizers and all of these things. And, but all of this stuff that you're getting from China, aren't you?
I'm getting from China, and we all are, because we all have to. There are a few U.S. manufacturers. They're completely out of items. And here's the thing. China literally changes the rules every few days. They raise prices, they make it harder to get the products, make it much harder to get the products because they can't even get on a plane to get here. So there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes with this. The other thing that really, really, really bothers me is how is it that China could just be done with this all of a sudden, even in Wuhan? My personal belief, and I have no specific information better than anybody else does, is that they have to have put this virus out. But prior to doing that, they made either a vaccine or an antidote or something for it.
But how come we don't know that?
I don't know. I'm just saying that there's too many strange things. And you can, if you were to listen to Dr. Fauci, he would say that I was a lunatic here because, you know, let's worry about this later. Let's take care of the problem now. Look at the problem everywhere in the world except for the place that created it. It makes no sense. The only thing that makes sense to me, just as a thinking adult, is that they already have either a vaccine or an antidote for this.
Well, boy, that's a lot of information to take down between cups of coffee. But I do want to continue in this vein. And so let me make you a cup of coffee, and we'll be right
back.
That
sounds wonderful.
This is Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist and host of A Thread of Evidence on America Out Loud. If you'd like to find out what forensic criminologists really do in the field, and you're tired of the false narratives about law enforcement and want to unpack the cases that I've worked throughout the nation, then please pick up a copy of my new book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, on sale right now at Amazon.com. That's The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police at Amazon.com.
AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Well, as we celebrate our 4-year anniversary, thank you for making it all possible. We are a grassroots movement of patriots, blogs, podcast, video, and 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
About that steaming cup of coffee.
Well, thank you so much. that was a treat.
Well, let's continue.
Well, one last thought on this is that Hollywood stars, Australia's home minister, Britain's prime minister and their health minister, Spain's prime minister's wife, Canada's prime minister's wife, and Britain's Prince Charles, among many other prominent people in the world, have contracted this virus. But not a single political leader in China, not a single military commander in China have tested positive for coronavirus.
Think about it. That's interesting. No, that's interesting. That's a little fishy.
Whether this is all true or not, I can't say. I'm just saying that it was sent to me and it's food for thought. And when I started trying to research some of these claims, I couldn't find anything to dispute them.
Well, that's interesting. You know, there's been so much talk of late about the World Health Organizations and their collusion with China, and the doctor that's in charge of the World Health Organization, the director, whatever they call him, executive director, the doctor from Ethiopia, he definitely has his hand in China's pockets, and he's basically their Pinocchio. And so once all of that came out, I just turned a deaf ear to everything that comes out of the World Health Organization, and I would much rather pay attention to what we're seeing over at CDC and also with our state health organizations and agencies here. So, but the, you know, the one thing that I want to say, and I've said this before, and you and I have, you know, discussed this on numerous occasions, I'm no fan of China. I am no fan of China because I don't like their ethics. I don't trust them. And I'm not talking about the Chinese people. I'm talking about the Chinese government. It's a communist, oppressive government. And I just firmly believe that they would do anything that they possibly could do to overcome the United States, overcome Europe, overcome India, Indo-Asia, you know, Taiwan, South Korea, all of the nations. And when you take a look at what the Chinese government has done steadily is build up their military might, build up their espionage, their cyber espionage, their cyber warfare. And at the same time, the idiot politicians in the United States have been in bed with China, a number of them. Just take a look at them, okay? The Bidens, the Pelosis, the, you know, the family members of these groups, you know, the Clintons. I mean, everybody has been in bed.
Oh, absolutely.
With the Chinese government, all right?
So to our detriment.
Oh, absolutely. To, I mean, you know, you want to talk about the Ukraine. Okay, fine. Let's talk about China, for God's sakes.
Sure.
And the hundreds of millions and, in fact, billions of dollars of business deals that have been John Kerry's. I mean, come on.
Well, and Biden as well.
Exactly. And to the, like you said, to the detriment of the people in the United States of America. I believe that if there is a silver lining to come out of this, if we survive, and I'm very confident that the United States is going to survive, we're going to get back again. We'll see how great we are when we, you know, get out of this first cycle. First of all, a couple of things. I believe that it's going to come back. Coronavirus is going to come back seasonally, just like H1N1 does, just like all the other SARS, everything else. It comes back seasonally. I think we're going to get hit with this thing again. I think it's going to totally change the paradigm, the dynamic, whatever you want to say, about how everything we do in the United States business-wise is conducted. The way the government is conducted, the way voting is conducted, the way business is conducted, the way our military is conducted, the way our economy is run, it's going to totally change the paradigm. That's number one. Number two, we have to really retool this nation. This is a good thing for, people are going to disagree with me, okay? But I have a strong impression about this. As I told you before, I'm a World War II history buff, and we retooled the military-industrial complex during World War II so we could survive the Germans and survive the Japanese. We need to look at coronavirus as a war, and we need to retool this nation. We are starting to do that, but people's mindset have got to change. Business people have got to change, and we need to do everything that we can to wean ourselves off of China in every area of influence that they have upon us.
No, I totally agree with you. And I'm seeing so many of those silver linings amongst manufacturers across this nation, big and small. I mean, tiny, tiny little manufacturers are making as many masks as they can a day to help Americans. And I just think it's wonderful that they have just really all come up to the plate and been part of the solution instead of part of the problem. We are also fast-tracking, trying to develop vaccines and medicines to resolve this as best as possible. It's interesting to me, based on what we were just talking about, that one of the places that is working on this is Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory, which has conducted bioterrorism research for decades.
No, and I'm very familiar coming from the San Francisco Bay Area originally with the Lawrence Livermore Lab. As a matter of fact, my best friend's wife worked for Lawrence Livermore Labs her entire professional career. So they're into a lot of science over there.
And what they say is that this is not going away anytime soon. It's going to stay in the population
now.
I agree
100%.
So that has to be very scary. And, they're going to have to get these tests. Of course, China's been sending out a lot of bad tests to people. They're going to have to get these tests and find out who has had it so that we can get those people back to work.
I agree.
And, try to make a dent in this huge lack of, work that's happening right now. But, another interesting thing, unless you have something else to say on this subject.
Well, let me just say a couple of things. And I'm agreeing with everything, that you say. And I just want to, put my two cents again in with my strenuous recommendation that, we have to look at every single facet of the American economy and American business and everything that we do and to wean ourselves off of China. Okay, so, we get car parts from China. We get parts for our military equipment from China. Jesus, we get things that we use in our NASA space program from China. All of our computers are built in, not all of them, but most of them are built in China.
Our cell phones. Yeah.
I mean, you name the televisions, the flat screens. And, as Americans, we have all been spoiled by this. We've been spoiled by the cheap prices. We've been spoiled by the Walmarts, the Costcos. I mean, all of those, the Targets. I mean, you name it. We've been spoiled. But people in the United States, and especially union people, come on, you guys and gals, you have to start looking at life differently, and you have to also start making some sacrifices. I mean, we can't give, and I don't want to simplify this, and I'm probably going to get a lot of hate mail out of this, but we have to stop people, paying people $75 for putting lug nuts on a car in Detroit when everything is robotic. So come on now. I mean, let's pay people what they're honestly worth.
Well, it's the same thing with the guys that are emptying the ships over there on the docks don't want to barcode things because they don't want to lose jobs.
And the Longshoremen's Union.
Yeah, that's not
we've just seen
fair
some,
to everybody else.
And I don't mean to beat up on unions for God's sakes, but come on. The stuff that unions pull, absolutely. And they say, we're bringing our people forward. We're all about our people. And yeah, who wouldn't want to make $75 an hour doing something like that?
Doing what the unions did, Ron, is what caused everybody to go to China and pay lower prices.
Absolutely.
And we need to really look at that and make
also,
a change.
And I agree with you. And I also want to say something about our federal government. And I think President Trump is gone at great lengths to bring American companies back into the United States.
Yes.
The reason that these companies like Apple and all these other companies and Nike have fled the United States of America is because the taxes are ridiculous. All right. And let's get these companies back and let's build up our economic and business infrastructure. And are we going to pay more for things? Yeah, I'm prepared to pay more things so I can get China off of our back.
Absolutely.
Okay. I mean, I don't want to be controlled by another country.
No, especially our drugs.
Anyway, that's what I wanted to say.
Well, here's a little fun thing about coronavirus. Not that anything is fun about coronavirus, but it's fun to kind of listen to see what other countries do sometimes that kind of don't make sense about coronavirus. So some of the countries across the world have reacted in different ways, and they're culturally specific, right? So, for example, in Syria, they banned smoking shisha in lounges, while Thailand closed cockfighting so that groups of people didn't get together, okay? But some countries have had a little more odd ways of dealing with things.
Well, like what?
Well, in Belarus, the president, Alexander Lukashenko, told people that they need to drink vodka to poison the virus. So he told them to drink the equivalent of 40 to 50 milliliters of rectified spirit every day.
Oh, wow.
he said, but not at work. now, that's only 3 to 4 tablespoons, by the way.
But you know what? In Iran, they told people to drink methanol and killed hundreds of them.
Well, that wasn't a funny one by any means. Yeah, I mean, that everybody's had kind of a different reactions. This in Belarus, he suggested drinking the liquor after trips to the sauna 2 or 3 times a week. And when you come out of the sauna, you wash your hands and your insides with the vodka.
Well, they're big sauna and vodka people over there.
And he said that it's better to die standing on your feet than to live on your knees.
Well, I think somebody in the United States said that.
Yeah, first. I think that that's not new.
I don't think that's a Russian thing, okay? I think that was an American thing.
In Brazil, churches around the world have shut down everywhere, but in Brazil, they have decided that churches are exempt from the lockdowns, and they classify religious activity as an essential service, so people can still go to church and be in big groups there. And that kind of seems odd to me, to be able to do that when we're trying so hard to socially distance ourselves.
Well, you know, one of our friends that was actually stuck in Ecuador for weeks and weeks and managed to come out of that country.
Peru.
Was it Peru? Okay. Yep. And she said, you know, because we asked her, you know, how were things over there while you were there? You were stuck there. Thank God she got a chartered flight with a bunch of people and got out of that country, and she's stateside now. But I said, so what's the deal? How do they handle it over there? She says, well, they don't have any medical services, you know, like you have in the United States. And she goes, it's horrible. It's just horrible. And she was scared. And she was so glad to come back to the United States, where there's some definite medical services. But, you know, you were talking about things that you know, kind of put a smile on my face, and I didn't want to put a damper on it. But I saw something really cute today, where there was a picture of a parish priest giving a sermon to an empty church, but he had gotten all of his parishioners to send him a cell phone picture of them, and then he printed out pictures of them, 8x10, and he taped pictures of all their faces in the church. So he was giving a sermon to a bunch of people sitting in the church that weren't there, just their pictures were there.
And yeah, I thought that was cute. You could do a sermon by Zoom. It would work fine.
Sure.
Well, in Panama, they're dividing the days of the week that people are permitted to appear in public by gender. So the president announced that women will circulate Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and men Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. And on Sundays, everyone should stay home.
Wow, that's interesting. I'd like to see a little bit of video of that.
Yeah. by the way, in Panama, they've banned all domestic and international travel, and they've shut down the airports, and citizens can't even travel into the country. They also have a curfew, which is from 5 p.m. to 5 a.m. each day. Wow. So they are really, really banning people. In Turkmenistan, their president, and I can't even say his name, so I won't try, he's reportedly banned the word coronavirus, and you can't even say it, in health brochures, hospitals, schools, workplaces, everywhere. You can't even say the word coronavirus.
Okay, well, that's a wonderful strategy. I'm sure that's going to be very successful.
Yes, and the same place, they arrest people wearing masks, as well as people discussing the pandemic in public. It's almost like, if you don't say it out loud, it's not going to be here. Now, the country does claim, maybe this works, maybe we should try it. The country does claim that they have no coronavirus cases, so I don't know. Maybe it works. It is very proximate to Iran, though, So it would be unusual if they had none, but they're saying that they have none.
Hey, can I switch it up for a second?
Sure.
You know, you talked about arresting people with masks and things like that. I want to bring it back to the United States. And you and I are seeing a lot of things happen on the news. We're seeing these various news stories where the cops are going out and they're, you know, arresting people, they're handcuffing people, they're citing people, you know, whatever, because they're out in public. And I just wanted to get your feelings about that, because as an old law dog, and you are too, how do you feel about that? How do you feel about that dynamic of police resources being used for something like that, when we have all this types of violent crime and all this other stuff going on at the same time? I mean, violent crime and criminals don't take a holiday because coronavirus is out there.
Well, I don't think that they should do it in lieu of arresting criminals that are committing violent crime. But I do think, honestly, probably differently than you about it, I think that we do have to send a message in some ways that this is serious and let's take it seriously. So, you know, I know that we don't have a lot of time to chat anymore this evening. I do want to say one thing, which is really God bless all of our healthcare workers, all of our law enforcement, all of our first responders in this country that are on the front lines helping people that have contracted coronavirus.
No, absolutely. You're all loved. You're all appreciated. Our military out there, our National Guards that are working so hard. And then the other night we had a conversation. We were talking about everybody that's working in the store right now, helping people like us. You know, God bless you all. Please stay safe.